Welcome, welcome. To Lord's Day 28. Lord's Day 28 at the height of our catechism. We're now focusing our attention on what it means to celebrate the Lord's Supper. This is the second sacrament, and this is a very helpful teaching tool for us to glean from as they do reflect the teaching of Scripture. Lord's Day 28, found on page 19 of your Three Forms of Unity booklet. Let's start in question and answer 75. Please respond to the questions. How is it signified and sealed to you in the Holy Supper that you partake of the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross and all his benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, and has joined therewith these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me. As certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup communicated to me. And further, that with his crucified body and shed blood, he himself feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life. As certainly as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, which are given me as certain tokens of the body and blood of Christ. What does it mean to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? It means not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the forgiveness of sins and life eternal, but moreover, also to be so united more and more to his sacred body by the Holy Spirit, who dwells both in Christ and in us, that although he is in heaven and we on earth, nevertheless flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, and live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are governed by one soul. Where has Christ promised that he will thus feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as certainly as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? In the institution of the supper, which says, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup in this New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And this promise is also repeated by the Apostle Paul, where he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? There is one bread, so we being many are one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Amen. Sense of God, what makes the gospel either comforting or intolerable is the fact that it's not a suggestion. The gospel is not a maybe or a suggestion, whether you can believe it or not. It is a command to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who respond to this command will turn away from their sin and find refuge in the perfect work of Jesus. In the same way, the sacraments are not about the possibility of receiving grace. The sacraments are all about certainty and assurance. The Catechism points out how Jesus commands every believer to eat of this broken body and drink of the cup in remembrance of him. Not because there's something special in the elements themselves and the bread and the wine itself. The bread and wine serve as a sign and as a seal, solidifying what Christ has done for you. And what Christ has done has been done for you indeed. The presence of Christ is through the Holy Spirit is as real, the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit is as real as the bread that you are eating and the wine that you are drinking. The sacrament of the supper is God doubling down on His promises, are not a maybe, but are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So what are these promises? Last time we talked about the promises found in baptism. But what are the promises found in the Lord's Supper? Well, the promise when we receive the Lord's Supper is that the body of Christ was broken for me. That His blood was indeed shed for me. And notice how personal this is. It's not just saying, well, you know, Jesus died for sinners and He forgives people. But when we come to the Lord's Supper, it is a very personal event. We're coming saying, I know that I am a sinner. I embrace the fact that Christ suffered and died for my sins because my sins deserved to be punished with eternal damnation. I mean, you think about that. That is a very personal, deeply intimate transaction that's going on in the Lord's Supper. That we are acknowledging, we are fellowshipping with Christ because of what it took for Him to bring us to Himself, which is through His broken body and His shed blood. Further, He feeds and nourishes our souls to everlasting life as another promise of the Holy Supper. That we have new life because of what Christ has accomplished once and for all. And just as Jesus went on the cross when He said, "It is finished," that is something that happened in the past definitively, but the word in the Greek is tetelestai, which means that it is finished. The work of Christ is finished, but the effects of His death are currently, presently felt. Which means that when we come to Christ, we're not re-sacrificing Christ. We are acknowledging that these sins that we are confessing today or tomorrow or for the rest of our life, those sins too are accounted for. Those sins too deserve damnation, and we have fellowship with Christ through His death. We've been brought into His family. We have been brought into new life. And that's why Paul can say to live is Christ and to die is gain, that we have eternal life that starts today. And when we get into heaven, our eternal life starts today, which means that your true death certificate was signed on the day you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the death that you and I await now is nothing more than a doorway into eternal life that Christ has indeed secured. And again, as Paul continues on in Philippians, that's why he says, everything that I have lost, I count as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, that I may know Him in His suffering and the power of His resurrection. The Lord's Supper is a sober event, but it's also a joy-filled event. We're not pretending to be sinners. We know that we are sinners. We are acknowledging. It is a humbling event, but it's also an event that we receive our peace from. Because we are acknowledging that Christ has indeed taken upon our sin. And He has given us new life. The Lord's Supper is all about finding true joy and peace in what Christ has done. Martin Luther captures how we should respond to God's grace, and I believe this is how we should come away from every time we receive the Lord's Supper. When he says, "When I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. But when I look at Christ, I don't know how I can be lost." Amen. Let's conclude our summary there.